Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now from All City Dallas, it's our favorite Mavs writer, Tim Cato. And a good afternoon to you, Timmy. How the heck are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Well, doing pretty good. You know, we need some good vibes flowing through Dallas sports. And we're
not on the injury report, so that's a plus.
Not officially.
You haven't heard about his bad hip, though, Tim.
Eric's got illness. I mean, he's questionable.
I got the Najee Marshall stuff going on right here. You got bad hips. Don't forget about the gout over there with the big man. So we're all hurting.
All fighting through something, Tim. And we're hoping the Mavs can win tonight. What do you say?
I think there's a chance this isn't one of the games that's maybe circled as a likely win, given their, you know, just all the injuries they have. And it's going to be rough, guys. You know, it's going to be a tough few weeks. You know, a lot of eyes right now are on Kyrie and just how serious that back injury is. You know, if he is missing, you know, if that's something that flares back up or continues to persist, that's not a good thing. But, you know, I sincerely think that Dallas right now, perspective wise, they have to look at their season and just accept that they're probably going to be a play-in team.
Ooh.
And yeah, that's going to be okay, you know, like to weather the storm and to at least get there and have that chance. And, you know, this is still a very, very good team when healthy, but it may be that, you know, unfortunate of a, you know, just cursed of a season right now with Dallas really struggling with, you know, they're not built for Kyrie and Luka both to be out. And so that's something that the entire team is trying to figure out right now.
There's so many, you know, interesting angles we could take it through. I'm wondering if you've heard about anything. Is there a plan on changing the approach or how they attack without Luka and Kyrie for at least these next 1 to 2 weeks?
I mean, there's only so much you can do, which is I think is the unfortunate reality of this all. You know, I thought it was interesting how Jason Kidd chose to start, you know, the game against Memphis last night. He went big, you know, he went with no traditional point guard. Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't out there. Not even Quentin Grimes was out there. It was a big lineup. It had Maxi, PJ, Derek Lively, you know, Klay Thompson and Najee Marshall. Only stuck with that lineup for about 5 minutes in that game overall, a few more when you include Gafford, who also now has an ankle injury. So Mavericks are down even more players. But I do wonder if the path for Dallas to sneak some wins, you know, to steal some wins while Luka and Kyrie are going to be out is, you know, it starts with the defense. And, you know, Derek Lively's been the anchor all season. It's so stark when he's on the court versus when he isn't. So I do wonder if that's one small area that Dallas can really lean in defensively and hope that can, you know, power them through some games that otherwise are going to be very tough to create. You know, it doesn't matter how many guards you put on the court. You know, it's going to be tough to create without Luka and Kyrie. So maybe leaning into the defense is kind of their best hope.
Tim, we saw Brian Windhorst report that the Mavs have been the most aggressive on the phones, it seems like, so far for this trade season. And Nico's done an incredible job both years at the deadline. But who do you think maybe they could be going after? I mean, financially, the Jimmy Butler stuff didn't seem to make any sense. And have their needs changed now with the injuries?
You know, Mark Stein on our show on DLLS, he's been reporting that they're most interested in adding front court depth, maybe getting another backup big, somebody who can improve what Maxey, just isn't quite able to offer them as much as he ages. I don't think it's time to go make a panic move for a point guard. But at the same time, if you have, serious, if the news comes back and it's not looking good that Kyrie is going to, he's going to miss more time. That's this 1 to 2 weeks that right now they're kind of looking at, I guess it's something you have to at least consider, at least, play around with, because, this team's window, by going and getting Kyrie, who is a free agent, can be a free agent this summer. The expectations he's going to be back, but, certainly by going and getting Klay Thompson, a 35-year-old, this team's, this exact window for this roster, is finite, just like any window in the NBA. So, right now, my gut says that this is actually going to make it a little bit tougher for them to make moves, just because of all the uncertainty and just not being able to see the team on the court. But, that said, it's Nico Harrison. He's made a deal every single trade deadline. So, at the same time, it would not shock me at all if Dallas is indeed, not just active, but going to, finding a way to pull a trigger on something they think makes the team better.
Tim, are they just going to be in too big of a hole? I know you mentioned the play-in situation and all that, but is it going to be, everybody comes back and now you have to get back into the basketball shape and all that. Is it just going to be too much of an ask to have to navigate even trying to get into the play-in situation?
So here's the situation. Dallas has 20 wins. They have 20 more games until they hit the All-Star break. They have 26 games after the All-Star break. When this team has been healthy, when they've had their starting five, they've won about 4 out of every 5 games. So right now, I think if you're Dallas, you have to assume, you have to plan on everything being healthy. Now, not a lot of margin for error,
right?
But you can probably go get 20, 21 wins after the All-Star break if everything is healthy, if everybody's healthy, everybody's back, everything's clicking. Last season, it took 46 wins to make the play-in tournament. Nobody's at that pace. The team in 10th, last season was the Warriors. They had 46 wins. Just a ridiculously hard conference. You can't rule that out. But right now, it's the Kings that are in 10th place, and they're a game under 500. So, they're on pace to make it with 10, with 40 or 41 wins. And so, if that margin for error, 20 wins plus the 20-21 that you're assuming after the All-Star break, it'd be great for Dallas to get just like 5 or 6 games in the stretch. And, if you can get 6 or 7, and then you have a little bit more margin for error, assuming the Western Conference isn't quite as hard, that it's not actually going to be 46 wins to make it into the play-in. But this is kind of the math that Dallas has to be thinking about, and they have to be really circling games that are a little bit more gettable, like a road game to Washington later this month, a road game to New Orleans. Like those are the type of games that they really have to be prioritizing, looking ahead at, and making sure that, if it's on the second night of a back-to-back, maybe it's the first night where, some of the veterans don't play, because right now they really need to, be very pragmatic about how they go about trying to get some wins while Luka and Kyrie are out.
It's Tim Cato breaking down this Mavs situation with you from All City Dallas. So how long do you expect Luka to be out? Is that, All-Star break, or is there a chance he's back before then?
I think All-Star break is a possibility. It might take until then. Dallas isn't going to reassess him. He's not playing this month. That does not mean that, it's very possible he could come back a little bit sooner. It just really depends on where his rehab's going. And on January 7th, it's just hard to know exactly, where he's at with all that. So I think that, it'd be great to get him back maybe 3 games before the All-Star break, pick up a couple wins going into it. And then you have another break, at this rate, because of the games he's missed, Luka's, he's not going to be an All-Star. He's not going to be an All-NBA player. The same is probably true for Kyrie, although we'll have to see. So just getting to the break, maybe getting your players back, you know, the week before or something like that. I think that's kind of the best case scenario. With Kyrie, certainly he could be back sooner. You know, there's just a lot of questions whenever it comes to a back injury. And that would be important. But yeah, with Luka, you know, it would be very fortunate for, I think the team would feel very fortunate if they did get him back sooner than the All-Star break. It's a possibility. But I think the team is steeling itself for the possibility that it does take until afterwards that he's back on the court.
Are we at the point with Luka now where if you go on a long run with him in one season, then the next season you can kind of chalk it up to it's going to be tough sledding for him, and then you can kind of get back like every other year kind of deal with Luka?
I mean, it's an interesting question. That has been the recent history. I mean, this is the most serious injury he's ever dealt with, though. You know, I think 2 years ago when he went to the conference finals, yes, there was tough moments, but, you know, he wasn't missing games to this degree. And the failures, the reason the team, you know, missed the playoffs entirely, they ended up with, you know, the pick that they got Derek Lively with. The reasons for that were much more roster-based than Luka specifically. So, I don't know. Maybe it's. I think it's a little bit too early to say, but that has been a little bit of a trend. But you know, I'm not ruling that out. And you know, every single time Luka comes into a new NBA season, you know, I guess I have optimism that this is going to be the season where, you know, just everything goes smoothly. But you're 100% right. Thus far, that has not been the case.
Tim, I wonder your take on the ratings conversation in the NBA and the numbers being down, and obviously you saw the NFL kind of dunk on them for the Christmas Day, which used to be synonymous with NBA basketball. Do you think it's something to do with the style of play, the load management? I mean, is there anything fixable in your opinion, or is it kind of overblown?
I think some of it is about selling the product better. You know, the idea that there's too many threes being taken when not every three is the same type of shot, you know, like not every three is created the same way. You know, teams don't play exactly the right, you know, the same way that, you know, obviously, you know, like a lot of the threes that are being taken are just, you know, spot up 18 footers that are being extended. But when it comes to the ratings, that's not really the conversation. The conversation is, how do you get that to translate? How do you get that understanding to translate to the fan? Because, you know, there are a lot of complaints from fans just saying, oh, there's too many threes. And so I think, you know, everybody, you know, who watches the NFL understands a route tree. You know, I think the NFL does a very good job selling the nuances of its coverages. And, you know, like, you know, Jason Witten, you know, just sat down in his zone, you know, pick your, you know, the newest tight end who does that. But, you know, sitting down in a zone, that is a concept that everybody talks about and everybody is familiar with, you know, in the same way that, you know, I don't think people talk about, well, you know, it's not that the defense wanted to leave that corner 3-point shooter open. It's that, you know, Luka was in a pick and roll and the guy had to tag in to take away the alley-oop dunk. But then Luka also looked off the player, you know, to a different player, and he got the defense to move. You know, I think that would go a little ways to helping things. But the other thing is just, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Obviously the ratings are, you know, they matter to an extent, but you know, the NBA just signed an enormous television deal. So my perspective is that there is something there, and I think the NBA could do a better job kind of selling this product. But, you know, this is not a crisis is the way I guess I view it.
Tim Cato with us. When you look at the trade deadline, are there untouchables other than Luka and Lively on this roster for you? Who are the guys you're looking to keep? And how attractive of a package could they get if something really tantalizing becomes available?
Yeah, I mean, it's Luka, it's Kyrie, it's Derek Lively, it's Klay Thompson too. You know, just from the human element, you can't go sign a player and then trade him. Like just from a franchise perspective, like good luck ever getting another Klay Thompson if you turn around and trade Klay, you know, when he is clearly not the one who would be pushing for that. So outside of that, you know, I think Dallas is going to be a little bit strapped to, you know, they have a couple first round picks they can deal, and maybe if they keep sinking the standings, then their first round pick this year becomes a little bit more appealing to a team that would go trade for it. But at the same time, if you're making a trade for a good player that you think is going to make your team better, you know, the team you're dealing with is going to look at that pick and look at where you are in the standings and just say, well, you're gonna rise, you're gonna make a run because we just made your roster better. So it's a tricky thing. I think, the more I talk about it, the more I think that, yeah, it's just, I don't think Nico's going to make it through Yeah, I don't think this is going to be his first trade deadline where he doesn't do something. We'll just see how big of a thing it is and where Dallas kind of allocates their resources and you know, if they need to make a, not a panic move, but a, you know, some sort of insurance for these guys who are absent or whether they just kind of focus on improving the roster overall.
Man, I love your perspective, though, on maybe you just need 41 wins. There's no need to panic as long as they can get healthy by the time they're coming out of the All-Star break and pick up some gravy wins between now and then. They should be okay, and then you just try to get to mid-April healthy, right?
Yeah, and ideally, like, you want the 7th or the 8th seed. I think that's totally fine. You just want to avoid the scenario where you lose once and your season's over, and you want to avoid the Thunder in the first round. Otherwise, I think, quite frankly, I feel pretty fine if as long as Dallas gets there and they're healthy when they get there. I still think this team is really good and can make some noise.
Well, thank you so much for your time and insights, Tim. Enjoy the rest of the season. We'll catch up with you soon.
Happy to do it.
Cheers. There he goes. Tim Cato, All City Dallas. One of the best Mavs writers out there and an absolute treasure. I mean, there's nothing you can ask him that he hasn't thought through and has an amazing answer for you. So there you have it, Mavs fans. Getting ready to take on the Lakers tonight, who have bounced back. They are 5th in the West, Los Angeles is. They've won 7 of 10. So I know they went on the skids there in early December, but they're back to playing some pretty dang good basketball. Okay, I have 10 options for head coach if the Cowboys do move on from Mike McCarthy coming up at 4:40. But a top 10 is next. Well, Chuck, what's in store?
It is Nicolas Cage's 61st birthday. I know Lucius is a Nicolas Cage lover. What are your favorite Nick Cage movies? We'll do that next.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20. The segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
All right, we're all going to do our best channeling, as it is a very happy birthday to Nicolas Cage. It's 61 years old, looking pretty damn good, Brian, I'd say, for a 61-year-old man.
Didn't know I was older than him.
As you are, my friend, as you are. We will get to 877-881-1053. Your favorite Nicolas Cage movie, as we've already had several texts, the 920, the 903, the 817, the 469. I see you. I'll get to you. Don't you worry. But a couple of people and players, I should say, have declared and not declared for the NFL draft. We got some movement there. Ashton Jeanty, it's official. He is foregoing his final season of eligibility, and he's going to the draft. He put out a post today thanking Boise State. And Evan Stewart, former Frisco native. And Texas A&M Aggie then transferred to Oregon, got hurt in pregame warmups, did not get to play for Oregon in that Rose Bowl. He is returning to school for his senior season.
There we go. Another guy I've already done, you know, it was like 55, 60 guys you do. There's one.
I didn't make that mistake this year. I went down that list, and I was like, if I don't see that this guy has declared yet, I'm skipping, and I will come back to you. Yeah. So luckily, I mean, Evan Stewart's a guy that I've known since high school.
Sure.
So I've kind of known a little bit about his game, but I didn't do a deep study yet. But, I mean, maybe this is a smart move for Evan Stewart. I think there's a lot of hype building. Dante Moore, the stud young quarterback that was a five-star guy, transferred from UCLA this past year, got to sit behind Dylan Gabriel. Tez Johnson is saying he could be a Heisman favorite next year. He actually said he will win the Heisman, but maybe they've got something there, and he likes what he's seeing in practice, and Evan Stewart's a guy that could possibly be the top pick. He could be the top wide receiver taken in next year's class right now, potentially. He's not competing with Jeremiah Stewart. Jeremiah Stewart's still got another 2 years.
Jeremiah Smith. Yeah, no, this dude, I mean, now with the NIL stuff, if you tell me I'm going to be a second or third round pick, I mean, this dude can probably make more money in 1 year at Oregon next year than he could in the NFL on a second round with a second round deal. So I totally get what he's doing there.
Reason to stay, no doubt.
How many dudes deep are you now into the study?
I've hit like 40.
It's a good number.
Solid 40 so far. Trying to knock out more and more every night. And then bettors right now are back in Ohio State and Notre Dame. They're going favorites here. Buckeyes are favored by 6, Irish by 2.5 in their respective college football playoff semifinals. So sports books, they're going to be cheering for the underdogs. They're rooting for the Horns and they're rooting for the Penn State Nittany Lions.
I think, you know, I know talking to Bennett and some people, Texas folks, they're really worried about Ohio State,
and they should be.
Ohio State's we've watched a lot of their.
It seems like all we're doing is watching Ohio State tape.
No, that's what I'm saying. A lot of their defensive players, their offensive linemen, you know, the wide receivers. You know, this is going to be the quarterback's playing really well for them right now. So that this is going to be a tough task for Texas to have to deal
with. It is. Now, if there might be the only secondary that has a chance to match up with guys like Makuba and Jahdae Barron and company there in the secondary. I mean, yeah. Michael Tapson, one of the best safeties in the country, graded every single week. But it's definitely going to be a challenge, and that defense is no joke. So we've seen the offensive line from Texas get bullied at times by Georgia. Ohio State's going to certainly have quite a bit of a challenge for them. So we'll see. That's going to be a fun game. We'll continue to preview that throughout the week. But let's get to some Nicolas Cage, shall we? Oh, I do want to give a shout-out to North Dakota State as well. They won their 10th national championship. I know Carter was there last night at the game. Mm-hmm. Looked really good. And a big congratulations and 105.3 The Fan salute on a tremendous career to our buddy Derek Holland, who has announced on social media that he is retiring from Major League Baseball. And, you know, good forever run. Will be. I mean, as of now, greatest game we've ever seen pitched in a Rangers uniform in the World Series. So yep. We love you, Dutch. You're the man. Now let's get to it. Top 10 Nicolas Cage movies.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Did you want to try?
No,
slide in.
Yeah, he washed Josh Hamilton out of there. Remember that when Hamilton came back? When he was like, we got to.
Sure did.
He talked about Arlington.
Not a baseball town.
Yeah.
This is not a baseball town.
Yeah, and he
let him know.
Showed him some baseballs he can't hit.
Oh, he sure did.
How about that one?
He sure did. You let him know. Forever a hero to us, Dutch. We love you, brother. All right, let's get to it. Top 10 Nicolas Cage movies of all time. 877-881-1053.
Well, Chuck, I do have the clip.
The channeling?
The all-time channeling clip. Here's Nicolas Cage about 5 years ago. He's not an actor, ladies and gentlemen. He's something better than that.
To go to some really crazy places, like how do you amp yourself up for scenes like that, or is, you know, what does the term over the top even register?
You show me where the top is and I'll let you know whether I'm over it or not. All right, I design where the top is.
Let's go.
Brian could speak more to this than I can. He knows how spiritual acting is for me. I don't even like the word acting anymore. I don't, because it implies lying in some way. I don't act. I feel and I imagine and I channel.
I mean,
I don't act.
What an absolute legend. Where is the top? I decide where the top is. Yep. Okay. And the way he's going to get into character for the John Madden biopic that's coming out, oh my gosh, dude.
I'm excited.
And Al Davis is our Batman guy.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
I'll tell you what, if that movie is great, it won't be hard for it to become the greatest Nicolas Cage movie ever.
You gotta relax.
You see what I did there, though? That tells me Dawson hasn't seen Matchstick Men.
So Nick Cage in recent years, because I had some shots fired at him, too. I was like, has he had a good movie since National Treasure? He has made a comeback here. Like, Long Legs has been critically acclaimed. I didn't see the movie, The Pig.
He had to take a whole lot of movies, bro. He had to get the finances back together.
Yeah. I mean, he was taking some, like, straight to DVD.
Yeah, give him what you got.
Like,
going through a divorce, fam.
I needed that. So, I understand. But in recent years, it seems like Nicolas Cage has done a tremendous job with some of the films that he's pumping out. And this will be the latest. All right, Lucius, I think you're probably the biggest Nicolas Cage fan.
That is Francis Ford Coppola's nephew right there.
Yeah,
you got to put some respect on his name.
I did not know that.
Big Nick energy, dog.
His first, I think his first film was
Fast Times.
Fast Time, yeah, and he got credited as Nicolas Coppola.
Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah. You don't want me to come on my list because it's going to destroy your list.
No.
It might throw your list off.
No, this isn't my list, so go ahead and give it to me. Your list is probably better than this. This is voted on by the people.
I got Kick-Ass at my bottom, but it's still on the top.
Kick-Ass is 10 on
it's
here.
It's fantastic. The Weatherman is great. You need to write these down, Tolos. If you want to get into your Nick Cage bag, this is it. Kick-Ass, The Weatherman, Lord of War.
Lord of War is really good.
Oh, chef's kiss.
It's really good.
Adaptation.
Okay.
Gone in 60 Seconds, of course.
Yeah.
The Family Man.
Yeah.
Family Man is brilliant.
Family Man is
brilliant. Con Air, and then Raising Arizona.
There you go. Come on, nailed this, dude.
No Matchstick Men.
You know what? I haven't got all the way into that bag yet, so I'm not going to say it's not great. But look, the way you're shaking your head, you're telling me that's what I need to be looking at.
Watching Matchstick Men.
And I'm not against it.
Who's the other guy that's in it?
Who's Sam Rockwell?
Yes, and Sam Rockwell
only makes good movies.
Okay, Sam. Sam is a problem.
It's a good movie.
Sam's a problem.
He is a problem.
He might be the most underrated actor.
Yeah, he's a problem, dog.
I mean, he's fantastic.
The Rock was
good pull on The Rock.
No, the Rock.
Because I like Sean Connery.
Can you smell? Oh,
yeah. Just an upset. The Rock is number one on this list.
Oh, is it really?
Rock was number one.
Oh, yeah, that Matchstick Men is a Ridley Scott movie.
Leaving Las Vegas,
pretty good. Yeah, dude. Matchstick Men is.
You guys are doing an excellent job. You're crushing this thing right now. We got some texts for the family, man. Lord of War.
Face Off.
Ghost Rider got a text.
Dude, Ghost Rider was awesome.
I thought that movie stunk. National Treasure. Are We Serious? Face Off from the 4609. Yeah, don't worry. Face Off is going to be
Face
high
Off
on the
is
list.
Really good. Him and John Travolta are excellent.
Have not seen the movie Joe from the 4609. They said that's the best Cage movie ever.
Oh.
Matchstick Men's a good one. So
when you're going
that
gun in your hand. Yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Okay.
That was fun to watch.
I wanted to see this. I never ended up seeing it, but the trailer looked hilarious. It looked fantastic. Anyone that I know have seen it says good things about that. Raising Arizona, which you mentioned, Lucius, as well.
Yeah, the Coen Brothers, dog.
Joe sounds interesting.
Honeymoon in Las Vegas getting texted in. Con Air, The Rock, Raising Arizona. Tons of great texts. And National Treasure is definitely up there for me. I loved that film as a kid growing up. Honorable mentions. We've got Fast Times at Ridgemont High is on here. Wow. He also does voice a character in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Gap.
Yes, he does.
So he's doing some audio work there.
Oh, there you go. There's a good movie. Yeah, they keep pushing that thing back, though.
I know. It's annoying. That and the Batman 2. Can we get those movies out, please? The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent was an honorable mention on here. So was Matchstick Men. 8mm. With Joaquin Phoenix and James Gandolfini. I have not seen this movie.
Ooh, 8mm is pretty good.
But that's a loaded cast.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah, that's loaded. City of Angels.
Loaded. 8mm. Like it.
I think that's, is that about like snuff movies?
Who? Which one? The 8mm? Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. Let me see.
A private investigator tasked with.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're right.
Snuff movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
It's where
you're
they
right.
kill the gal.
Yes, yes. That's exactly it. City of Angels is an honorable mention, and then the sequel to National Treasure, Book of Secrets, is as well. Kick-Ass comes in at 10 here, Lucius. The Family Man at 9. That's a, man, that movie, that's an emotional film.
So good.
See, I got to see that one, dude.
That one, that'll make you feel some things you didn't even know you could feel. Leaving Las Vegas is at number 8. Lord of War at 7.
There you go. That's really well done.
It's a badass
movie. Interesting, yeah.
Jared Leto in that, too.
Yeah.
6 is Raising Arizona. 5 is Gone in 60 Seconds. I thought that would be a little bit higher on here, but it's not. Giovanni Ribisi also underrated when it comes to acting.
The problem with the Gone in 60 Seconds is there's just not a good enough plot. It's just like any excuse to have these, you know, chase scenes.
It's a good
popcorn stealing
movie.
Scenes. Yeah. It's just like a it's
it
like
was the
action.
First Fast and Furious.
Yes. Yeah,
there you go.
Yes. 4 is National Treasure. 3 is Con Air.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's so
Con Air's phenomenal.
That hair is going through his little, the wind is going through his little wiry hair.
Yeah. He's wearing like a tank top all movie.
Oh, yeah. But 2 is Face Off with John Travolta.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a film.
It is.
But number 1, and I have not seen this movie, so I'm going to need to put this on the list along with The Weatherman there, Lucius, because I haven't seen that either. But The Rock. The Rock is number 1 on this list, courtesy of
the Alcatraz movie.
Yeah. Sean Connery, Ed Harris.
Very good.
I mean, they're both badasses. I'm going to have to find The Rock on some streaming service.
You've
watch
never
this.
Seen The Rock?
I have not seen it. I have not seen
Finally seen a movie you haven't.
There you go. So there's your top 10. Happy birthday to Nicolas Cage. Keep channeling, my friend.
10 options for head coach. The Cowboys do not bring back Mike McCarthy. We'll get that. We're heading for an edition of The Finest coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're back with it all here on The Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Coming up at 5 o'clock, an edition of The Finest. At 6 o'clock, we'll have some TD Tuesday for you. But right here, I have a list of 10 possible head coaches the Cowboys could hire if they do decide to let go of Mike McCarthy. Still no update on that. Maybe tomorrow we could have some movement as the contract officially ends. All right, but I want you to tell me, the Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open. Would you want this candidate to be head coach of the Cowboys, and do you think they would actually hire him? And I'm working off Odyssey Sports right here. We're generating some pretty good written content there on the website, but to go to 105thefan.com if you want to read more. And we start with a guy on the list that you've worked for before, Brian.
John Gruden, the former Raiders and Buccaneers head coach, says he checks a lot of boxes the Cowboys like, which is funny to me, but extensive head coaching experience, a Super Bowl ring, reputation as a QB guru, but obviously, you know, couldn't work, maybe doesn't work because it would draw more negative publicity for the Cowboys than like any other candidate that sure. you could think of. Would you like to see him as the Cowboys head coach, and do you think the Cowboys would do it?
I think that Jerry Jones said that John, he considers John a friend. I know Jerry's very close with Mark Davis, as we all know, and I think Mark Davis still likes John Gruden. He feels like it was the NFL was on a witch hunt that got him. John's guilty of things, you know. I mean, let's not walk away with that or walk away from that. But, you know, there's things, there's coaches out there. John is really good within the, you know, of working with the offense and stuff like that. John is a terrible personnel man. He really, really is. Now, if Jerry is, you know, and Jerry gives the coach some say in what's going on with, you know, with the drafting, the signing and stuff like that, man, you got to control John, because John will, he will give his opinion. There's some coaches that just take jobs and like, hey, what the scouts want to do is cool for me. John's going to like fight you on every
opinion. And he's bad at it?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And he struggled. And I, you know, me with John, and I've been with John at a couple of different spots, and, you know, I'm like, bro, you just got to stay out of that room. And he's like, you know, he's F you and that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, but you know, you're messing with a lot of guys' livelihoods in there.
I don't think the Cowboys would do it. It just seems like it's too hot of a story. You know, what he wrote, you know, I think is a stronger reflection when you don't think anybody's, you know, watching. Yeah. I just, it would be too controversial. As just a head coach, I remember when he went to the Raiders, I thought it was a mistake to take a guy out of the booth for 10 years, you know, and then nothing that he showed me with the Raiders would make me believe that he's anything other than like an old school coach who's, you know, thinks his tried and true offensive principles are going to dominate.
Yeah, he's, you know, he has, I will say this about John and just talking to him, he has a new appreciation of what these coordinators are trying to do. and I mean, like when you sit out and reflect and watch and you're thinking, okay, how are these guys moving the ball? And you're right, John's got some old school ways of doing things.
Yeah.
But in talking to him, I'm like, who do you like? And he was like, well, you know, have you watched this? Have you watched this team? Have you watched this guy call plays? You know, I think there's a little bit, we all have to change, and, you know, we just can't continue to have the same ways. But he does have some of those old school, his is more old school when it comes to running the ball. And how he gets about, how he runs the ball. The passing game stuff, I think he's really interested in how that's evolved since, you know, since he's been in the league.
There would just be a huge void when it comes to the NFL content creation. You know, if he gets sucked back into the sideline, I mean, my gosh. I don't know if we
can. He doesn't even want, you know, to be honest.
He's perfect where he is.
Yeah, he doesn't even want
to. Feeling nicey.
I was talking to him. I'm like, hey, you interested in this Dallas show? He goes, don't even talk about that.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm friends with Mike. I don't want any issues. Mike's a good dude. He's got a job. Keep my name out of things. And I'm like, okay, fine. Okay.
Up next on the list is Kellen Moore, a name chief we talked about a couple of times yesterday with you out. Could make sense with, you know, the Cowboys brass thinking highly of him. If Dak would endorse that decision, I think you'd be, you know, well on your way towards that making sense. Maybe his lack of head coaching experience is a concern here. I don't think he exudes like head coach energy, if you ask me. What do you think?
No, and I think that's probably something the Joneses would appreciate. You know, like he would just kind of go with the flow with whatever it is they want to do. You're taking something away from Philadelphia, so you're kind of hurting them a little bit in the process. But ultimately, like you said, the hurdle of getting past learning on the job, first-time guy, I think that is not something that Jerry wants to mess with.
This seems to be a really good hire for the Joneses, because I think they can influence the coaching staff there. You know,
they'll get to have their way with everything.
Yeah, they could be like, listen, we're going to give you this opportunity, but we would like for you to consider Al Harris, you know, Mike Zimmer. We'd like for you to consider these guys. You know, Lunda Wells might be your next offensive line coach here. If a guy like, say, Kellen Moore were to take this job.
Yeah.
Okay, how about we go to Matt Nagy, the current Chiefs offensive coordinator. If you're getting ready to replace Andy Reid, you might just want to hang tight there in Kansas City. But also, the chance to be head coach of the Cowboys might be interesting for him. 4 years with the Bears, he peaked Mitch Trubisky's rookie year, where he got a ton of credit for simplifying the game and, you know, designing an offense that made the Bears offense hum along pretty good there. You know, but I don't know if
there's some in-game management problems there.
That's one of those guys, good coordinator, not a good head coach.
Story says maybe the job of head coach in Chicago was a little bit too big for him.
It was a little too big for him. He lost track of some games they should have won.
How about a Super Bowl champ here, former head coach, friend of Brian Broaddus, doesn't have racist emails that we're aware of. Doug Peterson, just fired by the Jags. Seems like a get-along guy, too. Not a really strong ego. You know, maybe that could work with the Jones family. What do you think there?
No, I really do like Doug a lot. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to him in Jacksonville. He let things get away from him, though. He wasn't as buttoned up on some things that needed to be done. His teams fell apart there, you know, when they were having success. You know, I just feel like, though, they had a pretty decent roster in a lot of ways. I worry about Doug now. I think the offensive stuff, the coaching stuff, you know, if he was a coordinator, that kind of thing, quarterback, I think that's fine. The head coaching stuff, I just don't think that's the best path for him.
We got Frank Reich on this list, a guy who was given a lot of credit for the Eagles Super Bowl championship with Nick Foles. Then he was with the Colts and the Panthers, and both of those situations ended catastrophically. Yeah. But thought of someone who can develop young players and coaches for future success. And, you know, obviously coming off of a bad situation where he almost broke Bryce Young. But, you know, that was a hot name in the NFL 5 years or so ago. Would you want to take another shot at Frank Reich?
I liked him in Indy. I mean, what happened last year, Carolina is just a dumpster fire. I don't think anybody was having success there. But, again, I just don't think it's realistic. Like, is there really a correlation between him and a history with the Jones family? And he hasn't had enough success as a head coach that would get the fan base excited whatsoever. So I just don't see that being a realistic option. The only one that does out of all these names that I think that they actually would do is probably Kellen Moore.
I think Kellen Moore is a legitimate candidate,
which
here
makes me feel internally sick.
If Mike McCarthy were to go, I think that Kellen Moore is a guy that the Cowboys would surely consider very highly.
Robert Saleh's on the list. Helped build the Niners into one of the game's most physical and schematically advanced defenses in football before he took the Jets job, where everybody fails. He is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't mind it if, you know, the offensive coordinator is one that can get the most out of Dak Prescott. So, well, I'm not opposed to that.
What you need, though, is you need Bob Saleh not to have any type of interviews, and then that you hire a coach, and then that coach is able to convince him to come work for that 1 year for you. You know,
come be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, like the Dan Quinn program, you know, and maybe it turns into 2 years or 3 years, whatever, but... Yeah, if Saleh doesn't get any interviews, then he's going to, if he wants to get back into coaching, he's probably going to have to take a defensive coordinator position, and you kind of want to be the guy there picking up the pieces for him, give him an opportunity. If it's Kellen Moore, say Mike Zimmer decides to retire, you know, Kellen Moore could say, hey, I've talked to Robert Saleh, you know, he would be interested in coming along. If he doesn't get a head coaching gig here, you know, with somebody else, that's how I would approach it.
Number nine on the list. Well, number eight is Mike Vrabel. We've talked a lot about that. Number nine on the list is Jason Witten, the former Cowboys tight end. Yeah. I just think the path is there now with DeSean Jackson, Michael Vick, Deion Sanders, former players going to college. There's just such a bigger opportunity for my celebrity to give us a winning advantage that you don't get in the NFL. I would be shocked, you know, if I'm Jason Witten and I want to take the next step, it's got to be college, not the pros, where I'm looking to go next.
Here we go, Kellen Moore again. There's another opportunity where you bring Jason Witten in as a top assistant on your staff, and now he's got he's getting the pro, getting the readiness there. Maybe he's not the OC, maybe he's the assistant head coach. He's getting experience. If you want him to coach,
that would make sense. Yeah,
another position.
Kellen Moore's looking over his shoulder the whole time, knowing that Jason Witten will be the incumbent.
Very well could be.
And then number 10, what about Mike Zimmer? If Mike McCarthy falls through the cracks, you don't like any of your other candidates, you can go with Mike Zimmer, find an internal OC candidate, or find another OC candidate, and this at least kind of bridges you to the next thing. Or, you know, I don't think I could rule that out if Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys don't see eye to eye here over the next week, and then you're looking for who's going to be the next guy. You know, Mike Zimmer, head coaching experience, relationship with the Jones family. I think there's a path to him getting the gig.
Absolutely.
Yeah, from the Jones standpoint, I could see that. I wonder if Zimmer, I don't know where Zimmer's head's at in terms of just wanting to coach at all. Maybe for a head coaching opportunity that would light a fire under him and he'd be hyped up to do it. But it sounds like, I mean, he's a coin flip to return anyways.
Yeah, retirement and wedding, I think, is in his future. He might be, you know, ready to enjoy the finer things in life.
And you go down the list of all those names, like Vrabel, I think we'd be excited about. But do you think any of those are upgrades over what you have with Mike?
I don't.
And I don't either.
Yeah, I don't. None of them.
The Kellen Moore interests me only in the aspect of maybe it will bring other coaches here.
It would make Dak very happy because that probably means Nussmeier's your offensive coordinator, and he loves Nuss.
Maybe a change in, you know, maybe you somehow steal the assistant offensive line coach from Philadelphia or somebody like that. Maybe it's something. Maybe there's some different, you know, avenues there. I would like to see if you're going to change it, and he can go and get, you know, Robert Saleh and some others, and Robert Saleh brings along a defensive guy with him. You know, you might be able to put together a pretty solid staff with Kellen Moore as the head coach.
Yeah, you know, I
wonder. That excites me.
I wonder what the Cowboys are thinking. Are they thinking we don't need to be in a rush because we want Kellen Moore as our next coach and they're still in the playoffs, so until they're eliminated, we don't have to be that urgent about it. There's just so many different ways. And salute to the Jones family, clearly playing this thing very close to the vest. And if they're talking to anybody, nobody's squealing. But we'll be breaking in if there are any reports or anything that comes down the pike that we need to pass along to you. In addition to the finest coming up next, Eric, where are you taking us?
All right, we grade the playoff concession items and who had John Gruden feeling nicey in week 18 next in the nation.